They're coming to get you. They're coming for you, Barbara.
They're coming to get you.
Coming to get you, Barbara.
This is They're Coming to Get You, and may I say, you have some stupendous tits, dear listener. Or my name ain't Brent Terhune.
And my name is Gavin Eddings, and God, your tits are just perfect. You have great nipple placement.
Stupendous.
Stupendous tits. That's what everybody wanted us to say when we said that we were going to be covering Friday the 13th from 2009. People were like, can't wait for them to say stupendous tits. And we did. Now, which would you rather have, Brent? Would you rather have stupendous tits or round melon breasts?
I don't know. Probably round melon breasts, especially if LL Cool J is saying it that way.
LL Cool
from
J.
From H2O.
The ladies love the Cool James.
Ladies love round melon breasts.
Yes. And we love our Patreon subscribers over at patreon.com/ They're Coming to Get You. Want to give a shout out to Mike, who actually upgraded his membership from just a regular Barbara. He upgraded to a Nut and Run.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. We do appreciate that quite a bit. And then also, I want to give a shout out to Cheebs33. That might just be Cheeseburger. I don't know. But Cheebs33 over on Apple Podcasts, who said, super fun and funny. Found this pod back in December 2022 with their The Thing episode, and have been listening ever since. If you're a horror hound or enjoy easy listening pods that make you laugh, this will be up your alley. Easy listening is not how I would describe us. It's very harsh listening.
Yeah, well, you know, you just sit back, relax. It's 102.5, easy listening.
And then this part is fun. Both of the hosts are comedians by trade, and their chemistry is so good that you don't have to see the movie they're covering to enjoy the show. They'll guide you to the film and have you laughing along the way. Great stuff. I hope this pod goes on for many years to come.
Wow, that was, I'm not trying to put this review over others, but when I leave a review, it's like, good stuff, period.
But yeah, thanks, Chiefs. Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, and I like that they added, and they did include me as comedian by trade. So I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, we can all be honest in our reviews.
You know.
Yeah, thank you for the review and other dear listeners.
Yes.
Don't be afraid to go leave a good review for us as well, if you're so inclined.
Yeah, or subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/ They're Coming to Get You. Also, on my second monitor, I have a tendency to leave tabs up on my computer. Did you ever do that? Do you leave tabs up? And I just was assaulted. My eyes were assaulted by, I Googled human face dog from Invasion of the Body Snatcher, and it was just still there. So that's what my eyes be looking at.
Well, we're not talking about human face dogs this week. We're talking about dog-faced humans.
Yeah.
With Friday the 13th, 2009, what was your... This is probably not your first time seeing this, Gavin. What was your initial take on it?
I saw this at a midnight release, back when they still did midnight releases, back before America changed, and we had to do it all 7 o'clock now. But I miss a good... I really do miss the midnight release. Mm-hmm. I know you can see it now. The movies come out on Friday, but they really come out now at like 7 o'clock on Thursday.
Yeah.
The day before. But do you miss midnight releases for like movies or video games?
It's kind of, when it's that late at night, usually people aren't out. So it's like, if you want to see it, then it's because you really want to see it. Mm-hmm. So hopefully at least in a theater setting, you're not having a bunch of assholes just like, oh, the new thing's out, let's go see it. You got to go see it on purpose at midnight, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And I just miss seeing the atmosphere. Like, seeing it early is great, but like midnight, you're all up. A lot of people are in costumes, things like that. I miss the midnight release for movies. I miss video games. Like, I remember waiting in line at the GameStop for Modern Warfare 2 to come out. I remember.
Now, do they do midnight releases for games anymore?
I don't think so, because now a lot of games now you can just get digitally.
Yeah.
So they're like, if you want it at midnight, you can just like download it.
It's not as fun. Like,
Yeah.
It's a, there's a community aspect because you got to be a certain type of fan to be there late at night.
Mm-hmm. And I remember when they, when Mortal Kombat 9 came out, mm-hmm. while you're waiting for it to be able to be released, they had like a tournament set up for the people to like play in while they were waiting. So
okay.
It's just a sense of community. And I feel like the oldest man in the world right now be like, do you remember when we were out past our bedtimes?
I remember when you we were waiting on this movie to come out and you showed up dressed as Obi-Wan Kenobi. And I said, why are you doing that? And you said, don't worry about it.
But I did see this back in 2009 at the midnight release, and it is still one of the most fun experiences I've ever had in the theater. Do mm-hmm. I still talk to the people I saw this with? Absolutely not. But I remember the movie fondly and the experience very well.
Well, let's forget about this movie. Let's have a therapy session on why you don't talk to these people anymore. That's what the listener's here for.
If you're in our Discord, we do have a mental health day channel, and sometimes mm-hmm. we're like, it's been a rough day, guys. So if you ever want to get to know Gavin or Brent on a very mental health level and hear all our problems, you can give us money and get the privilege to do so.
Yeah, well, yeah, give us money, and then we'll... the person that you see in public that you know that you would try to avoid, we just become that person.
You duck down the freezer aisle in Walmart and be like, I don't got time to hear about his
God,
problems.
Oh, God, it's Gavin. I don't have an extra 20 minutes to listen to. I don't know what he's going to talk about, but I know it's 20 minutes.
Well, things have been kind of rough at home. The cat's not looking so good anymore.
Oh, God. And it, like, that person will also... They have a spouse and they use the spouse's name, even though you've never heard or met the person. Like, you know, Eric has just been going through. I don't know who Eric is.
Everybody should. If you're going to reference somebody in your story that I don't know, you need to bring a flashcard of who they are and a small bio about them.
Yeah. You know, my wife blank. And then you can continue to use the name there or like from there. But.
You know who you remind me of doing stand-up? You remind me of my brother, Eric. You know, Eric's so fucking funny. Let me, you'd like Eric. Here's a story about Eric. You should put in your little skits.
And he's got stupendous tits.
That's Eric. Stupendous tits, Eric, everybody. What was your first experience with this movie?
I was seeing at home. It was not in the theater. I don't remember exactly. Probably on one of the streaming services. And... From the jump, I've liked this one. I thought, and when you put it in totality of the Friday the 13th franchise so far as reboots are concerned, and also Friday movies, this is in the top tier as far as 50. If I split good and bad, this is in the good column for Friday movies.
This is definitely one of the best Friday the 13th movies ever, and I do appreciate you using the word totality because of the eclipse that happened a few days ago at the time of this recording.
I didn't hear that. That's just a word that I normally use, totality. Let me go ahead and take this post-it down that I had up. I've used my word of the day, calendar.
But yes, in the totality of the Friday the 13th franchise, this is definitely in the upper, this is an A or S tier movie. It gives it an old school feel. And next week, we're going to be talking about another movie by the same director in the same vein, directed by Marcus Nispel, who did the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake in 2003, which we'll talk about next week. But Marcus Nispel also, did you know that he is a music video director?
I didn't. What Rob Zombie movie did he direct?
So he's done a lot of music videos, actually, including what did he have?
He's German. I don't care for that.
He did Bryan Adams, Inside Out. He did Faith No More, Who Cares a Lot. Elton John, Recover Your Soul. Puff Daddy, featuring Notorious B.I.G. and Busta Rhymes, Victory. We all know Puff Daddy's never been more popular.
Yeah, well, that's like he's done Elton John, he's done P. Diddy, like, that's a wide variety of music videos.
Oh but wait. He's got the best one, he's got the Spice Girls, Spice Up Your Life.
Everybody in the world. I don't know
spice
the words.
Everybody in the world, spice up your life. Ah, shabba, 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 if you're having a good time.
That's, That's a lot of, because I'm looking at his whatever you Google, and there's some other one, Spice Girls. There's Gloria Estefan, Cher. There's like a, you know, this guy's, besides horror movies, he's got Conan the Barbarian, Pathfinder, some stuff that I'd never heard before.
Yeah. He also did, to tie it all back around to Stupendous Tits and Melon Breasts, he has directed an LL Cool J music video for 6 Minutes of Pleasure in 1991.
6 minutes, that's a long time.
Give me 1.5 and you'll like it.
The best 1.5, 90 seconds of your life. I didn't realize he directed this and Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I'm just full of fun facts today, buddy.
They're facts. I don't know that they're fun, but...
I do love, though, that he has such a wide range, because music videos can take on... Music videos back in the day, even now so, were many movies. So you think... Because there was a show on MTV called Making the Video.
Where
you see how much went into it. But it is funny to see like a guy who's directed Leatherface and Jason also directing Posh Spice.
Yeah. Yeah, such a... Again, for the, like, he seems to... skew towards the horror genre, but then he's like, yeah, I'll do a Spice Girls video.
Yeah, that's a, you know what? It pays, brother. That's all that matters.
Hey, man, to go from Texas Chainsaw Massacre to Friday, there's a reason that they did that, I think. It's because that TCM is so good, which we're going to talk about next week. But, my initial thought was this is a good remake, a good movie in general. And it's pretty quick and brisk, and you get about 4 Friday movies in one.
The first 20 minutes of this is what's known in the business as a cold open. It's the open before you get to, like, the title card. Saturday Night Live does it every week with their cold open before they say, live from New York at Saturday Night. So that's a cold open. But this movie it has, like, 2 cold opens, actually. Because it starts with the ending of the original Friday the 13th with the mother getting her head cut off, which I thought was Aunt Becky from Roseanne for a minute.
No, that's actually, you're thinking of Scream 2. Lori Metcalf.
But how do you feel that they did the original ending there of having the mom fight the camp counselor?
I like it because we live, especially now, but even back in the day, you're getting so many reboots, and that what also they'd include an origin story. If you're seeing like the second reboot of Spider-Man and you don't know that Spider-Man was bitten by a radioactive spider, or you can't picture the pearls hitting the ground because Bruce Wayne's parents are murdered in an alley, what are you doing? Like, stop wasting my time with these origin stories that we all know. Get to it. So like, they had her head cut off within the first minute of this movie. Good. I don't need to see that, because if you're seeing this movie, you probably know the origin story of it.
I like that they cut her head off so fast, and I like when her head fell off, her pearls also hit Crime Alley, and then her body was bitten by a radioactive spider. So it tied it all together for me.
They had just seen Zorro around the campfire at Crystal Lake.
They said, no, let's not take a cab tonight. Let's walk through Crime fucking Alley.
Yeah.
Batman, what's
this alley called? Crime Alley. And we're billionaires, so we're not targets.
Oh, there's no lights down this alley? Perfect.
Yeah. How did the guy that killed them, the Joker maybe in some versions, not recognize that that's Bruce Wayne?
Yeah.
Like, how do you not hold the family for more money?
Yeah, so it's Joe Chill in the comics who, which also, it's so corny.
Joe fucking no chills. My man's got no chill.
I love Batman a lot. He's my favorite superhero character. I love Batman. But it's so corny to be like, well, where did Batman's parents die? Crime Alley. Who killed him? Joe Chill. Like, what?
That's a very 50s name, Joe Chill. Yeah.
But yeah, you gotta, they're like, oh, we're just gonna take a wallet and some pearls. They are billionaires. Everybody knows Thomas and Martha Wayne, damn it.
And also now, because of that, the origin story is so popular and we know what Bruce Wayne becomes, you have to kill the child because they will rise up against you. It's what they will do.
There is an alternate version where Joe Chill kills Bruce Wayne, and then he just guns down the kid. And then Thomas Wayne becomes Batman, and his mom, Martha Wayne, becomes the Joker.
Oh, I didn't. What version is that?
It's Flashpoint.
Okay. Yeah. With the Flash.
Yeah. Flashpoint has an alternate universe where Thomas Wayne becomes Batman and the Joker is Martha Wayne.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Like I said, all full of them fun facts today. Yeah.
Well, and then like we get with this, so we get that cold open with, you know, Jim puts this Dwight Stapler in the Jell-O and then Mrs. Voorhees gets her head cut off. And then pretty quickly we cut to another mini movie.
Yes.
Where this open, if that was just like an internet fan film, you would say that's better than like half of Friday movies, you know?
Yeah, it's a very good short film because it establishes characters. It establishes how horny they are. It establishes
so
how much.
So horny.
So horny. This movie is very horny.
Mm-hmm.
It is very, it's a lot at times. It's just nonstop horny. And I know that's been a staple in the stapler and the Jell-O mold of the entire Friday the 13th franchise for a long time. But this one feels late 2000s horny.
It does. I feel like our director, Marcus, probably wouldn't have said, let's throw some boobs in there. And then the guy smoking the cigar off the side with the checkbook said, give them the titties. Give them what they want.
Their kids love the titties.
It's Vince McMahon for some reason.
Oh, God. We know why it's Vince McMahon.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Oh, God. But these characters originally, I'm not even trying to name them because they're all on IMDb, they're all just like listed in the cast. It's like, I can't remember who's in the beginning and who's not because they're all kind of the same mold of mostly white person.
Yeah, because and the only one I know is Ginsburg from Mad Men, who was also in Superstore.
Yes, Ben Feldman. I love Ben Feldman.
So the beginning is we get there. Of course, there are. They're horny teens looking for a weed farm or stash in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And we get the horny couple who likes to bang in the tent, which is Ginsburg, my man.
My man.
I love one of my favorite things is calling a character by another character's name from a completely different property.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not Ben Feldman, it is Ginsburg.
When Jason took the time to burn Ginsburg by saying, he's like, I feel sorry. When I think of you, Don, I feel sorry for you. And when Jason said, I don't think of you at all, I was like, cold, Jason. Cold.
Got him.
Got him.
Yeah, and then we get the other couple who go explore the camp. And then we get the stoner man who finds the weed and was listening to an iPod, wasn't he?
I believe so, yes. It's a Microsoft Zune, I believe, he was listening to.
Yeah. And of course, he finds Jason pretty quickly in the woods. And I will point out several times in this movie, Jason in this movie is a hunter. He's a woodsman.
He is a hunter. And this Jason reminds me so much, and this is intentional, the video game Dead by Daylight.
Mm-hmm.
Because you might be thinking to yourself, this Friday the 13th movie came out in 2009. Why hasn't there been another one? It's because of rights issues. The writer, Victor Miller, has a bunch of rights against of the character Jason. There's lawsuits always that shut down other movies. It shut down video games. It's just legal red tape. But in the video game Dead by Daylight, they can't use Jason. So they made a character that's Jason-esque called...
Jason-X or-esque?
Jason-esque. I was going to say, yeah. Jason-esque X. Jason-esque. And his name's The Trapper.
Okay.
And so he actually, like, lays bear traps. And after watching it, I knew that he was kind of based on that version of Jason, but after watching this, I was like, that is just Jason from the 2009 version.
Yeah, it's like, if you won't let us use the guy, then we all make money.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're just going to make something similar, you know?
Yeah. And he's like the one horror character that's like been left out of that game. Because Leatherface is in there. Jackie Earle Haley, Freddy Krueger's in there. Mm-hmm. Michael Myers is in there. Jason just left out, though.
And I don't know where the lawsuit stands now. I'm sure we talked about it when we've covered other movies in the franchise. But just stop being bitches and make your money. Victor Miller and Sean Cunningham could just, like, you guys can make money. So just mm-hmm. figure it out, and then we'll go see another movie. And do you think they do another reboot?
Of this, I think, well, we're supposed to get like a Crystal Lake Peacock show, I think, this year.
Yeah.
But
that's the legality, is if you don't call it Friday, like, there's the movies where it's Jason Goes to Hell. There's no mm-hmm. Friday title.
Yeah.
And it's like, those are the shittiest ones when there's no Friday the 13th blank. It's Jason movies. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah, because 1 through 8 are owned by Paramount, and then mm-hmm. New Line got the rights and Jason Goes to Hell and Jason X, but they didn't get the rights to the Friday the 13th name. And yeah. as far as lawsuits, I think just last week, somebody was doing a fan mod for the Friday the 13th video game that's shutting down at the end of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And that already got, like, shut down before it even launched. They're like, no, 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 can't do this.
Yeah, and then that's how you get, when you go so long without even having a new movie, you get stuff like Never Hike Alone, mm-hmm. which, have you seen that yet?
I have not seen Never Hike Alone.
I've said it on probably every Friday thing we've done.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fan film, but goddamn, is it so much better
mm-hmm.
than it's better than this, maybe?
I
and this is
so.
Good.
Yeah.
But it's like that, and I talked to the guy on the field trip, and he was like, yeah, we're just doing it in hopes that they don't shut it down. But it's a fan film, and they're not making any money. So it's got, well, I was going to say it's got somebody in it, but that'd be a major spoiler.
Yeah.
So just go watch, and it's free on YouTube.
Yeah. Maybe I'll throw those up over on Patreon for free, the Never Hike Alone films. Or post them in our Discord. I'll also share, I've talked about it so much. I just need to share with the masses who listen to this podcast the Friday the 13th fan film I made 20 years ago. And I hate that I made it 20 years ago when I was 17. I played Jason because I was tall. But mm-hmm. I'm going to say it kind of holds up, man. We use all your favorite copywritten music. We use
Mudvayne, baby. I don't know. I assume there's Mudvayne in it.
We got Disturbed Down with the Sickness.
Yeah.
The version where his mother beats the shit out of him. We've got Godsmack in there. We got some Breaking Benjamin. All your favorite bands from 2004.
Well, and you brought up Down with the Sickness, and that goes back to our Dawn of the Dead episode, where I said on that one too, that beginning of that one is a short film as well.
Mm-hmm.
Something about if you could hook me and get me interested, because in this short film, the meaning of this, we have the couple that goes to the camp, we have the couple that bangs in the tent, we have our stoner boy
mm-hmm.
who he gets killed, and then he gets killed, but he's coming back to the camp, whoever it is, he comes back into the camp. And we get one of my favorite kills in the whole franchise, where there's a sleeping bag suspended over a fire.
Yeah, because...
And she's writhing in pain.
Ginsburg Nuts and Runs.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, he does. Look at that Nut and Run, baby, bringing it back. This is the definition of a Nut and Run movie.
Just yeah.
Dudes fucking leaving and then getting killed.
Yeah, it's like they're like, is it praying mantises or the males just get killed or spider or whatever? It was worth it.
It was. I mean, her tits were pretty nice. Even the one at the beginning, I was like, these are pretty good breasts.
Stupendous.
Yeah. We also
you
got
have to say that word because nobody. When's the last time you heard somebody say stupendous?
I don't know. But I will say, Sydney Sweeney, because we mentioned her breasts during. She's got some pretty stupendous breasts as well.
Big round melon breasts.
Have you still not looked them up?
No.
You gotta see these. You gotta see these tits.
Whose hog should I look up? Let's keep it.
That's the Chrome tab you have, just famous hogs of Hollywood.
I am watching the show Oz on HBO currently. I've never seen it.
That's a good show.
And there's a lot of male nudity because it's a male prison. But even there was a scene last night, this guy gets thrown into the hole. And when you get thrown into the hole, it's just a room and you're naked. Mm-hmm. And this guy, I don't know who it was. He's just kind of like not a regular player, had such a big hog that I had to pause it. And I said, producer wife, get in here. And I just played it. And she goes, Jesus Christ.
Wife, get in here. Let me show you what a real man looks like.
Look, see how I'm not that?
Look at this. Look at this neo-Nazi's dick. Look at it.
Hey, you know, I'm willing to put aside the whole neo-Nazi thing if you got a hammer down there.
I think it'd be a hammer and sickle, I think.
That's true.
Oh, this is all over the place, and I love it so much.
We get a bear trap?
Yeah, we get the bear trap, and, like, he is intentionally setting these traps like he is a hunter.
Yeah.
They've never done that before. Normally, he's just a guy who just kind of messes with teens, but he's, like, setting traps. He's got elaborate tunnel systems and, like, pulleys and bells.
It's a different take on Jason, and it's Derek Mears who plays Jason in this. Mm-hmm. Menacing.
Yeah, which is really funny because from all the interviews he's done, he is, he is the sweetest man. Everybody says he is, like, one of the nicest Jasons. Also, I do want to say, Derek Mears plays Jason in this. Kane Hodder is not in this.
Does not. Hey, I'm sitting here live with Kane Hodder. Kane, how's your day going?
I'm not in this fucking movie.
Oh, my bad.
Sorry.
We should get Kane Hodder and Bret Hart together on the show. To see who gripes about their thing first.
What if they bond over it? What if Bret Hart's like, that dumb fuck Goldberg, and Kane Hodder's like, he is a dumb fuck. I was in Freddy vs. Jason, and Bret Hart's like, you're the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be for Jason.
You know why I wasn't in Freddy vs. Jason's? Because Goldberg kicked me in the head.
I do like the sleeping bag roast because it kind of, Jason throughout the series loves him some sleeping bag.
Yeah, like, well, it just goes with the camp motif, you know?
Yeah. And when we went camping last time, when we went camping the first time and the only time I've ever been camping, first off, we made sweet love, much like Ginsburg. It's very nice.
Stupendous.
Stupendous even. But we didn't use sleeping bags. We just had like an...
It was too hot.
Too hot. And I had an air mattress. But I also knew if I was in a sleeping bag, it just basically makes me a burrito for Jason.
Yeah, he's going to wad it up at the end and then slam you against a tree a couple times.
Or hang you up and cook you.
Yeah, just... how do you want your Gavin? Medium well?
Oh, yeah, with that pink center, baby.
Yeah, you better flip that nerd. He's getting burnt on one end.
Oh, man, now he's looking like Freddy Krueger's wiener. Look at him over here.
We have the couple that find that what they find Jason's house, right? Or somehow where he lived and is living. And we get like the faint touches of somebody's living here. And is it at the beginning of this? It's been a few days since I watched it, which is how bad my memory is. Do they find mother's head?
I don't think they find her. I can't remember if they find her head or not.
They do find, somebody finds a head. I just don't know if it's at the beginning.
I can't remember
or in the
either.
Middle of the movie, but then they say, hey, something ain't right around here.
And then Jason just goes ape shit on everybody. Kills people in brutal ways, decapitations, bear trapping. He's running at people. He is running full stop at people like he is training for the Boston Marathon.
And we should talk about he doesn't have the mask, the hockey mask. So I said this is about four movies in one. But it's not Sackhead Jason, but it's kind of like a desert Jason. I feel like he looks like how you would wrap your head in a desert to keep the sand out.
Yes, this is Dune Jason.
Dune Jason.
This is Muad'Dib Jason.
Platinum Dunes. I don't know who produced this
movie. I think it was Platinum Dunes, actually.
Okay, see? Platinum Dunes. Yeah. But it's like this look. I have a figure right in front of me and then over there. Like, it's kind of... Like, if you saw him riding a camel, you'd be like, this dude fits right in. It's such a good look for Jason. I wouldn't have been mad had they just kept it that way the whole movie. Yeah. Almost the Town That Dreaded Sundown, which is like part two, you know?
Yeah. I like it as well. It's very much like the Elephant Man kind of bag type situation.
Yeah.
And I think, though, even if they would have kept it this way, You can't keep it that way. You got to get the hockey mask. You got to get
there. Them tits and the hockey mask. That's what these people want.
I do like the way it just cuts to the title card, though. He does burn the lady. He shoves a machete in Ginsburg's head.
Mm-hmm.
And it's super brutal. This movie does not hold back on the practical gore effects, and it's much better for it.
And we get kind of a twist, too, the very... end of this beginning part, we think the lady also gets it.
Mm-hmm.
But wait.
And then this is when we get the actual movie. We've got a pretty, for the time, I would say this is a pretty star-studded cast.
Yeah, we get, I know you're going to know this guy from Supernatural. Is it Jared?
Yes. It is Jared Padalecki, and yeah, I know him from Supernatural, but bitch, that's Dean from Gilmore Girls.
See, again, that's not... Is he Walker Texas Ranger, or is that the other guy?
He is Walker Texas Ranger now, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What a handsome man this guy is. I bet he's hanging dong, right?
Oh, yeah. He seems... He's... Like, I love Jared Padalecki. He's in... He's, of course, in Supernatural playing Sam Winchester. He is on Gilmore Girls as Dean. He was kind of a toxic boyfriend for Rory, but he was her first love, so we'll give him a pass.
All right, nerd. Let's talk about this nerd shit.
I fucking love Gilmore Girls. I love Gilmore Girls so much, unironically.
I've never seen one episode of... Is he in House of Wax, too?
He is in House of Wax, yeah.
I like that movie.
Yeah. But Jared Padalecki's in this. Daniel Panabaker is in it. She plays Jenna. She was on The Flash.
Okay.
For a long time. You've got Willa Ford, who is a pop singer who tried to be Britney Spears for a long time.
I don't even remember her.
You never, I want to be bad.
Oh, yeah.
Makes me feel so, that's Willa Ford.
I didn't realize that was her.
Mm-hmm. Trust me, when I saw her stupendous breasts.
was that her?
Yeah, that's her. Well, no, okay. she's one of them.
Okay.
There's a lot of boobs in this movie.
Yeah. I would say too much, but come on. Yeah.
You also have Ryan Hansen, who is in Veronica Mars.
Okay.
So, and that's about it for famous people. Travis Van Winkle. I always think of the Winklevoss twins who created Facebook, but I know that's not him.
Yeah, no, Zuckerberg created it. They just tried to suck off his teat. I'm loyal to Mark Zuckerberg.
And then there's also Amanda Rigetti, who was on the TV series The OC for a while.
Yeah, those are all shows that are in my blind spot.
They made the Avengers of like teen show heartthrobs for this. They definitely knew that they had a very teenage audience for this movie.
What about Derek Mears and Swamp Thing? I'm seeing that he was in that too. I've never seen it.
I watched I watched the first episode of Swamp Thing when it aired. It was very good. It was definitely very body horror. But then it was like on, I think Warner Brothers or DC had like their own streaming service that like went under. So all those shows just went to like Tubi and Max now.
Okay. Because I'm seeing it was on the CW.
Yeah, they did air on the CW, but it was like uncensored and stuff too on the Max. So I think it's on Tubi now if you want to watch it for free. I'm a big Swamp Thing guy, so I just haven't watched it, sadly.
I pulled it up and apparently I clicked on Swamp Thing because this is a completely different movie. Same sounds, all gushy, but.
Is Swamp Thing throwing it back, though?
Oh, clap, clap, clap. We need a, I was going to say we need like a swamp Jason, but we do. It's a, what's his dick? Alistair.
Oh, Hatchet?
Played by.
Kane Hodder. What if Ken Kersinger, who played Jason in Freddy vs. Jason, comes back as like, I want to play Victor Crowley.
God damn it. He would. And then we pretty quickly, we meet our teen victims. They're on a road trip to, was it Trent's house?
Like Trent's parents' cabin's house. Trent is...
God!
Trent, much like Ryan Niemiller's brother, Trent sucks.
Yes. Like this guy, I was telling producer wife this. First off, he's just an asshole. And he's the type of guy, I think he says my dad in this in this movie, but you know, he's always the first to say, my father.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, what's his face? The Green Goblin son.
Harry Osborn?
Harry, kind of a Harry Osborn type. Where he's like always just talking about his dad, and it's like, get out of my house. That's not your house. Your parents are just rich, and they got a lake house.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah. Do you know about Harry Osborn? His best friend, Peter Parker.
What?
Bitten by a radioactive spider.
You know, I'm glad you said that, because I'd be so lost at this movie called Spider-Man.
But yeah, that he's we've all known that guy who thinks that their parents' money is his money.
Yeah, and like, I also hate a guy when you'd go over to their house and they'd be like, "Oh, be careful! Don't get that on the thing." Yeah, I'm gonna be careful and respectful of your stuff, and if you were so protective of it, don't have people over.
Yeah. If you really want to protect your grandmother's ashes that much, don't have her just out on the counter in a football, okay?
Yeah, we're trying to play foosball here, okay?
And but, sometimes I like to high kick. I like to high kick when I foosball.
Who doesn't? I hate Trent. So, like, that's how you guys, you know, the guy did such a good job is when I hate him. I hate the character so much.
I sometimes just tweet at the actor, Travis Von Van Winkle, and go, you suck, Trent.
Yeah, he's like, dude, that was 20 years ago. Or whatever, I don't know. Almost 20, but.
I did write, though, there is a very 2009 joke where the black character, Lawrence, one of the girls is like,
He's working on his record label.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, is it rap? And he's like, oh, because I'm black, it's got to be rap. I can't like Green Day. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And he's like, it is rap.
It's rap.
Yeah. I was like, got
it, yeah.
Got him. But he has a bromance with the Asian character played by Aaron Yu, who's Chewy. And I wrote in my notes here, I don't do drugs. If you do drugs, do them responsibly. Do them responsibly. I think 420 is coming up. 420, blaze it, my homies, and whatnot. I get it.
I think by the act of doing drugs, you're not being responsible. So that's an oxymoron, Gavin.
Yeah. But, I mean, there are responsible. If you want to smoke a little reefer, maybe snort a little black tar heroin.
If you're doing meth, get a designated driver. Hey, I'm getting ready to smoke this rock out of a light bulb. Are you good to drive?
If you're going to do meth, at least do it in a dirty house that you'll be up all night cleaning, okay?
Yeah, very much like where Jason lives.
Yes, if they just done a little meth. But I love the idea of drug tropes. I love it. You and I are in the comedy business. We could have so much free weed if we wanted it. If we had any interest.
Alcohol. Yeah. Like anything. If you go looking a little bit, you could find it.
Every time I get a drink ticket, I'm like, can I use this for a Red Bull, please?
And then usually the bartender's like, what? Just take it. Like,
yeah. But I love this idea because Chewy opens up basically like a cachet of like a super bong, I guess.
Yeah, I like a guy that travels with a glass bong as if it's not like just glass and breakable, you know? Like,
yeah. And they make a huge deal out of it, like, because they make Lawrence, the character, be like, I miss you, baby. I'm so sorry that I cheated on you with a bowl. And I was like, do drug people talk like this? Am I just out of touch?
I think that's just a character trope, because like if you see like the movie half baked. They've got names for their bongs. They've got Billy Bong Thornton and Wesley Pipes. So those are just fun, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like, but I also have known stoners where they're like, everything they do, they have to be high because it makes it better.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're just going to the post office. But bro, bro.
Bro, I can't mail this to my grandma sober. I want to feel the lights on my skin as I buy the postage.
I'm like, I've known some terminal wake-and-bakers where I've had friends that, you know that movie Super High Me with Doug Benson where he just smokes weed all day? And I've had friends be like, yeah, I've been doing that for 10 years. Mm-hmm. That's not special.
Yeah. I love it when you work in, like, I work a desk job, and it's not so much where I work now, but when I worked in a IT call center, there were people that were just like, are you smoking at your desk right now? You are so high. And yeah, there was one guy, he was great, but he would work from home, and I would like look at like the tickets he'd put in the system, and they were so bad. I was like, why is he not learning? Like, cause he's high the whole day.
Hey, they don't pay me to be not high. Pay me more.
But me, I'm just out here raw dogging life, and it's not fun, y'all. It's not good.
You couldn't switch because then they'd be like, man, Gavin's productivity sucks. You got to show up day one that way, and then they just know what to expect.
I know. They can't be like, are you okay? Are you, what's going on? I'm like, no, I'm not.
Yeah. I hit a dab pin, and I don't even know what that is.
I did something with my arms. I think I dabbed, but I don't know. Is that what I'm supposed to do?
So they're all on the way to a lake house. Trent's lake house, and then we meet our supernatural man, Clay, who's looking for his sister that was taken at the beginning of the movie.
So that's how we tie the cold open to this. Clay is just a good brother looking, trying to put a flyer in a window. I would have started with social media as opposed to going
to 2009. Sometimes you got to put some feet on the pavement. Yeah. Knock on doors, you know?
You got to walk up right to the manager at a business and say, I'd like a job, sir. And they go, well, of course, we like how straightforward you are.
Yeah, I would like one employment, please.
And I love how cartoonishly evil Trent is. This is a brother trying to, like, find his sister. He's like, hey, man, you going to buy anything?
Yeah. You doing okay? You all right? You good? Fuck you. I hate you so much.
Not your bro, man. You'll be friends. Not your bro.
Yeah, my sister might be dead, but go ahead and keep being an asshole.
I love cartoonish villains in these movies. It's one of my favorite things. I do love, though, if we fast forward a bit, to when Jason gets the mask.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, Jared Padalecki meets, I can only call him as a hillbilly, I guess.
Yeah, they're like a guy that thinks that drinking and using the wood chipper is a good idea. That's a guy that's like, bro, I can't chip wood unless I'm drunk.
Dude, you haven't chipped wood unless you do it fucking blazed.
How much wood could a drunk redneck chuck if it wouldn't? I don't. Shut up.
See, are you high right now? Because that was a great impression.
Bro, I can't do the podcast unless I hit the dab.
Yeah, man, you ever think about, like, podcasting? What's the pod about? Are we pod people?
You ever just be around a guy who just vapes all the time and it's so much vape smoke? You're like, are you the Undertaker right now? Why,
I
want to
see some fucking
so
dragons.
Like, stop. Why does it smell like cotton candy? You're not even fun. Like,
I don't see it as much anymore. Now they've gotten much smaller. Like, the vape pens have gotten much smaller now.
My rig.
But I remember when people had, like, a rig, and you're like, is that a Game Boy camera?
You know, somebody has modded a Game Boy camera to smoke out of.
You're like, did your vape just try to airdrop me a picture of your dick?
Yeah, is that just the Game Boy that you put in your pocket? The big brick one? But yeah, we Go ahead.
We meet the hillbilly guy, and he's like, I got something we don't want to sell you. And he's like, no thanks. And then everybody, this movie's very horny, because even like, even the hillbilly character is a sexual pervert, man.
He lost his virginity to a mannequin?
I think that that's pretty gay. A mannequin?
Mannequin? What about a womankin?
A femalekin?
But he's horny. Look at, I love, there's always like the trope of the guy that looks at the porno mag, mm-hmm. The Beastie Boys mostly. They get him taken away and they get party. But then the guy's like, oh, look at you. He's talking to himself. Have you ever looked at porn of any kind by yourself and just been like, oh, baby, she's hot? You know, like,
I wrote word for word, you like that, bitch? You like that? Like, you're talking to a magazine.
Yeah, and you call her the beast slur. They don't like that.
That is someone's daughter, okay?
Yeah. Everybody is someone's daughter or son. I hate that. That's someone's daughter. Well, yeah, I'm a defile. What are your intentions? Well, you don't want to know. No.
You don't want to know. Ass down, face down, face ass down. Up.
In the barn next to the mannequin.
And, like, it's not even that he's, like, licking a porn mag or whatever. It's weird, but he's like, yeah, baby, you remember that night? He's like, fuck, he's like, trying to woo a mannequin.
Yeah.
Like, that makes it weirder. Just, I mean, I don't know if a mannequin can consent or not consent. I'm going to probably say no, because they are plastic. But he's just
she
like,
has no arms.
So, I mean, it's nice that he's... I don't know. I think it's anything terrible, but it's like, I'm glad he met a nice amputee in the barn and was like, I see you for you.
And also that mannequin has nipples. I know, like, if you look at certain mannequins anymore in the store, you might see the nip, but why? Why are we putting nips on these mannequins?
All I know is that when I look at the Under Armour, these mannequins have the biggest bulges. Damn. I thought they were on the show Oz for a second. I was like, hey, come here. Look at this mannequin's dick.
That needs to be a YouTube prank, because you always see the guys in the store and then they'll like blow an air horn and then throw a tote over somebody's head.
Mm-hmm.
They just need to like keep stuff in these mannequin drawers and then be like, bro, you see this? Just like, look at the hog on this guy.
I think that mannequin's getting hard right now. What?
What if they hooked it up where it's like Tom Savini could do it? Where
he'll be mad the whole time he's doing it, but he'll do it.
Yeah, it clearly gets engorged. Like you hook up some kind of pulley system, something. Like, wouldn't that be weird to be like, bro, you seeing this? And then be like a boner creep down. A mannequin's leg.
Yo, why is this mannequin getting hard right now? Am I giving off a signal?
Bro, are you getting hard for me?
Am I getting hard? Because it's getting hard.
That's one prank I would watch. Is like Target.
That'd be so funny. It'd be so inappropriate. I'm sure it's probably problematic on several levels. But just the bro, you seeing this?
And dude. Then you have Tom Savini in the truck. But blowing it, you got to squirt it. You got to blow it to get the blood to squirt out. Oh, Kevin Bacon.
Oh, God. Why is there blood in this mannequin's penis?
Oh,
well, I guess
God.
We know. I mean, I guess there's blood in every penis, so that would make sense.
That's how you get that, where you need to go. But
one day I'll learn. One day I'll know.
And then, well, I love this scene, too, in like the attic of the barn or whatever, because once you've seen it once, I was looking for Jason in the background,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't find him until he kind of steps out.
Mm-hmm.
But it is very Michael Myers of Jason to just blend in and then kind of pop out. And then he kills the redneck stoner guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's how we get our mask.
Yeah. Again,
that doesn't happen till part three. Mm-hmm. So we're getting and then with the guy looking for his sister, I think that's a part four thing, right?
I believe so, yeah.
So they've taken four movies and put them into one.
Yeah.
And I don't hate it. Hate him for that. You know?
They chose the four, arguably the four best ones. Part six is my favorite of Friday the 13th, mm-hmm. but those first four through one through the final chapter are universally loved for the most part.
Yeah. And for different reasons. Like, you know, one is not Jason, two is Sackhead Jason, three is I don't know, the just a classic Jason, and then four is Ted White Behemoth Jason, which we also get a kill in this where Jason pops through the window and grabs, I don't know who it was, but it's like, that's a part four kill right there.
Mm-hmm. And once Jason has a hockey mask, that's when it's going to be Friday the 13th. What I love is, I love the boat scene where you have, you have Nolan.
Don't drive my boat.
No, don't drive my boat, bro. Don't drive your dad's boat, Trent, you ass. But I love that scene because it's just Willa Ford and Ryan Hansen's characters just having a good time doing some jet skiing. And then fucking Hawkeye Jason over here just arrows a dude in the neck, which, again, kind of like a Kevin Bacon kill from Friday the 13th Part 1.
And it's really weird because they're like, woo, yeah, and it's just the two people on a boat. Like, I could see, like, if you're, like, with friends and you're all like, yeah, like, you're, it's just two people and one of them can't hear you because she's getting dragged through the water.
Yeah. I've never been that excited with just one. Like, yeah, let's go. Wow. Yeah.
And also, Ryan Hansen in this movie, Nolan, looks like a cross between Dax Shepard and Owen Wilson. That his look is very 2009.
Yeah. I think I rocked his hair and I had Jared Padalecki hair. Probably when we met, I still had like the shaggy do.
She's got Jared Padalecki hair. Not Betty Davis eyes.
We got that Dean from Gilmore Girls hair, everybody.
And then, so he gets the arrow in the head, and then, of course, everything goes haywire, and the boat turns back around and hits Willa Ford.
There's a lot of great kills in this. Getting hit by a boat is the worst part of this movie for me, because I'm not a big swimmer. I don't particularly like swimming. I'm not a huge water guy.
You don't do drugs. You don't do water. What do you do?
Just crank my hog.
I was about to say, could you just not for an hour crank your hog?
Listen, I got to be cranking through the podcast, bro. Wake and bake, more like wake and bait, am I right? But I don't like water for the most part. I don't like swimming. I've never been jet skiing. I've gone fishing a few times. But just knowing that there's a boat coming towards you, and you're like, oh, this boat's going to hit me.
Yeah, well, and it's like supposed to be a friend. And then it's not, I would be like, well, why didn't she dive deep down? Well, there's no time. And it's just like a boom, solid. You got hit by a boat. And then you're dazed and you're looking, and now there's a woodsman off on the bank, so you can't even go over there.
Yeah. But and I do want to give him credit. I want to give him credit, though. That was a hell of a shot. Hell of a shot.
Yeah. He could be an Olympian if he wasn't so murderous.
Yeah. You got the great chase scene where
We got to talk about her in the water.
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah, it's kind of like a chase scene, but he, like, you can't leave the water because Jason's outside the water. So what do you do?
You gotta sit under the dock of the bay, wasting time.
And then you got that great kill when she gets cut and she gets stabbed in the head, and then she gets pulled up just to show her boobs.
Hey man, you know the boobs is boobs. If that were a Rob Zombie character. Which we talked about doing Rob Zombie Halloween 2. The beginning of that, it's like, man, this one's F-I-N-E fine. You're talking about a dead girl. That would be like two rednecks if Rob Zombie were watching. Like, you see the tits on that dead girl?
Yeah. Willa Ford, great, great boobs.
Great. That's we're going to have a new category on this of greatest boobs.
Greatest boobs of all time. Well, we've had a lot of titless movies over the past couple seasons, over the past couple months of episodes. So
would it kill Goosebumps? No, it's children. Stop.
Listen, Slappy's dick is in an episode, okay? Yo, you seeing this, bro? You seeing this?
Right. I'm hard.
It's made of. What?
Yeah, what about a Twilight Zone with boobs?
Into a world of just tits everywhere.
It's got to be the time at last where he has time to read, but he loves boobs.
Yeah.
And then his hands fall off or something.
Well, they did. There was a sketch group called Murder Fist that did a sketch like that.
And Murder Fist is my favorite band, by the way.
Yeah, Murder Fist, it's the guys from Last Podcast on the Left, they had a sketch group, and they had a Time Enough at Last thing where a guy finds all this pornography, and then his hands fall off.
Okay.
And that's the joke. So,
because I was going to say maybe his dick fell off. But then,
yeah. Yeah.
I think it's more cruel if he doesn't have hands. They did it right.
Props. Yeah, props to them. And for... I do love that podcast a lot. But you got Willa Ford dying, and then we've got you've got the characters. Is Jenna with Trent? Is Daniel Panabaker's character with Trent? Are they together or are they just friends?
I think the plan is that they are friends, but she's such a prude because she won't bang him.
Mm-hmm.
That then you got this other harlot hanging out with them. And she's like, yeah, I'll have sex with you, Trent, even though you're an asshole.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a plan. And he's such an asshole that he's just trying to get his thing wet. He doesn't care.
He's just trying to get a thing wet. And he doesn't care about Jason coming out. And this is when we kind of hit the high point of the movie, when Jason's just hunting everybody, getting the kills. Chewie gets killed. Chewie gets too high and then goes wandering out in the garage and ends up getting spooked out by Jason. And the screwdriver kill. I hate seeing screwdrivers used as weapons.
Why? Because it's like you have one in a drawer right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like when you use it's like a hammer. Like, because we've all kind of hit ourselves with a hammer by accident or on purpose. I don't know you, but so you kind of know how that feels. Is like, and I feel like a screwdriver goes in slower for some reason.
And it's just like a common kill that, hey, one slip, I could cut my hand with this, you know? We also have to, can I finish? There's that moment where Jared Padalecki goes and he's like going to houses, and the lady's like, well, if she's missing, she's dead around here. Like, that was a point of contention for producer wife, is how do you own a lake house in this area and not know that the legend of Jason? You not heard it from anybody, but it seems like my reasoning was maybe this is a new lake house. Or they're out of towners, so the locals don't really talk to the out of town people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a nice property for Jason to be stalking, because normally it's either like the rundown Camp Crystal Lake in the previous movies, but this is like lakefront property. Jason probably just kicks it in their house when they're not home.
Got a lake house. He's just tossing back a few, putting his feet up on everything. But are we to believe that Jason didn't start killing until just recently?
I think
is that what it is?
I think he's killed for a while. We just don't know about it.
Okay. So we get the Chewie goes out and gets killed, and then we get what's his name? Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a bunch of killing. The one supposed to be girlfriend and Jared Padalecki go out to Camp Crystal Lake, and that's one of my favorite scenes in the movie, is they're walking around looking for his sister, and then they hear a noise, and then you just see Jason walking through the camp, just kind of in the background at first. But that's the most scary to me, is like, he's not really, you just see him being Jason. He's not trying to get you, you know?
Yeah. He's just doing his thing. Mm-hmm. And then with Lawrence, Jason just acts like he's a lady at a bachelorette party.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect placement. Just throws it into Lawrence's back. And Lawrence like screams out, and they're like, we can't go help him. He's using him as bait. And you're like, holy shit. Jason is using a person as bait. Is this Full Metal Jacket? This is pretty. This is some deep psychological shit he's doing.
That'll be this week and next week. We'll have Full Metal Jacket mentions. But
unintentional.
Yeah, we get so, and like, he's such a he's not like the, I don't know, deformed behemoth that you are led to believe in the rest of the series. Yes, he's somewhat deformed, I think, with the eyes or whatever. But this dude's smart. He's a man of the woods.
Yeah.
Like, even if he wasn't super tough, you'd still lose because he knows how to navigate the woods, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I can appreciate that for what it is. And then he kills Lawrence by, not only what was he axed in the back, but then he just, like, flips him over and drops the axe on, so it, like, goes through him. And there's so many creative kills in this that I absolutely appreciate. Because now, a lot of horror movies cut away from kills a lot. Yeah, they don't show it. Even when I see a movie like Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2, which was way better than I thought it was going to be. After seeing that movie, that is supposed to be like all about kills, but it's so dark you can't see it. This is like well lit. You see the kills and you can appreciate the makeup effects.
Yeah, I just, the kills in this, and it's probably have to do with the, you get such a bigger budget. Something makes me think that Winnie the Pooh is just cut away so then we don't have to shoot it, you know?
Yeah. But I do, so we have the scene in the Crystal Lake, which is cool. I like seeing Jason pop up out of trap doors. That's very scary.
Well, and we find out that, like, he's got a tunnel system, so that's why it's cool, but it's not, because then it ruins the mystique of how is he able to get places so fast. But this dude just got a tunnel system set up with bells, and there's a bus buried under the ground or something.
I want to see Jason having to hang those lights. Jason had to hang those lights.
I'm looking for an Edison bulb, something exposed.
You know, an Edison bulb is like what you see at a hipster restaurant.
Do you think if it'd be funny to dress as Jason and go axe throwing? Just never acknowledge anybody. Just be practicing.
I think that'd be funny.
Got to take a drink of your craft beer that costs $13, and it just goes in the mask and down the front of his shirt.
I'll say, have you ever been axe throwing?
I have not.
It's fun. We had one here in Evansville. We have a couple here in Evansville, and they're fine. We did one at my friend's bachelor party in Washington, D.C., and we had the best host ever. He taught us how to throw properly. He had us playing games. It was like an organized axe throwing event. It was a lot of fun. So I think it was like Kraken throwing or something down in D.C., so if you're in the D.C. area.
Kraken as in like the beast in the ocean?
Yes, yes. The not like, what's Kraken, nephew?
Or crack-a-lack, yeah. so they run back into the house, and then we kind of get all parties converge where Lawrence gets the axe in the back. And we get Jason just standing on the roof very ominously, which is a great shot.
Yeah, Jason gets around in this. He's not only running, he's jumping, he's doing parkour. Jason moves in this.
Also that's where we get the scene with the stupendous tits where they're knocking on the door and he's like, just keep going.
Yeah, he's like recording himself as he...
It's fair, like she's a, you know, cowgirl. Props to her for going more than three bounces. I love that those memes of three bounces in and she's like, I'm tired.
You got to really work the quads, ladies.
But she's got the camera on him, which if you're watching the tape back, who wants to see that dude?
Yeah.
Trent.
That's how you know. It's like the scene in American Psycho when he's like looking at himself flexing while he's banging the woman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, do it. I want you to wash your vagina.
I had to return some videotapes.
And then you have what I like to call the final showdown. How does Trent get killed in this?
He loses the gun in the water and he's saying, where the fuck are you, gun? And then he's out on the road and Jason comes out because there's a tow truck and he gets impaled on the back of the tow truck.
That's right.
I would love more stuff with the locals. Because the cop kind of seems like he knows what's going on with Jason. It's just kind of a thing that you don't talk about. Just don't go out to the lake, you know. But then he gets impaled on the back of the tow truck, and then that drives off.
Yeah. And that guy didn't know for miles. He's like, you put a guy on the back of my truck?
Yeah. Hey, Rick, is your truck bleeding?
Oh, is that Trent guy? Oh, he sucks.
Trent sucks. Also, I forgot to mention that they have a flaming shot that Chewie drinks, which I can only assume is a flaming Mo.
It's actually cough syrup and whiskey, yeah. What is it?
It was a bunch of liquor plus cough syrup, which I'm sure had codeine in it. So, of course, people love it. You're getting fucked up.
And then we have the showdown in the tunnels when they're rescuing the sister going, just Jason's going after everybody in this. And then you have the wood chipper.
Mm-hmm. The wood chipper. Well, if one of the girls gets killed in the shower very quietly because he's a hunter and a woodsman and an all-around gentleman and scholar. So we have the big reveal earlier, I think, but we're going to reveal it now, that his sister has been chained up in the tunnels.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about that? About Jason doesn't kill everybody, and it's a little, you know, it's weird to have anybody chained up in tunnels, but to have a woman chained up, and then you're like, oh, are we doing like a Elm Street thing?
I never got the impression of a rapey Jason.
I didn't either, but I think it's so we could talk about it, you know?
Yeah. I think that, yeah.
I think it's a symbol for mother is what it is.
Yeah, because she like finds the necklace of his mom or something, so he's like, it's my mom because the lady wearing my
Mama?
Necklace.
You know how if it's your mom, you want to keep her locked up down in the tunnels.
Yeah.
That's what you want your mom to do.
I hate a horror movie when you think it's going one way and then it's like, he's keeping women in the basement for sex stuff. And you're like, no, I don't like this.
Yeah, because then it's not fun because rape is a real horror, you know?
Yeah, unlike murder, which is typically fun and festive.
Well, if you get murdered, you're not around to think about it.
Yeah.
I guess.
No, I understand. I'm giving you shit, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, I never thought, I think the way they do this movie is very tasteful, because I never got that vibe from Jason.
No, I didn't either, because they've very much played up where she's wearing the necklace, and she even, you know, does the trope of, Jason, this is your mother, blah, 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 you know, like, but I think it's worth talking about, because up until this point, Jason doesn't really keep hostages, you know?
Mm-mm, no.
Especially once chained up in the, you know, basement, essentially.
And even if he did, he knows we don't negotiate with terrorists. He knows that.
Yeah, we don't. With Voorhees, there's that weird thing in part three where she was just sitting under a tree and he goes to, like, get her. Not kill her, but get her.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
That is a weird scene because she, like, is remembering it, kind of, but she can't remember if it's a dream or not. And you're like, yeah, it's the only time Jason is, like, a sexual assault man. And it's like, I guess, but it doesn't work for the character. If anything, I would see him more as, like, an incel, because sex is what killed him, because those two counselors were making love, and he drowned.
Well, that young boy drowned. Yeah, so, and I've since watched it, and I was like, maybe that's not really the vibe. He's just trying to, I don't know. I just don't want my slasher people to be rapists.
Yeah.
Most characters in general, but.
Yeah. Just make the, and if you have to have rape in your horror movie, make it mean something that can be like overcome or like a revenge thing. Like, I don't love rape revenge movies, but if you're going to have a rape in a movie, have revenge in it. Have her blow people's dicks off to get vengeance. Like, I spit on your grave, the movie Revenge. Do that. Don't be like, oh, God. Yeah, because it's not, yeah.
Women in the Rob Zombie way.
Yeah, not in the Rob Zombie way where it's like, this helps nobody.
But they jump through, they get him in the barn, and he's hanged by the chain, a la part three.
Yes.
And we get the wood chipper, so they chain him around the neck, and then he gets sucked in the wood chipper, and she pretends to be mother in that scene. That's where we get that. How do you feel about the wood chipper kill?
I like that they use the wood chipper, but they don't use the wood chipper.
Chekhov's wood chipper.
Yeah, you can't. You got to show the wood chipper in the first eye. You got to pay it off in the third. I like it, but they weren't going to like throw Jason's head in there and like make it a no comeback kill.
Yeah, of course. So they're like, let's see how this one does.
Yeah.
And it did well, but then legal stuff.
So. Yeah, it's not like Halloween Ends where they're like, well, this is the last one, so let's put him in a car crusher while the whole town watches.
Yeah, this is the end till we do another one.
Come on, kids. We're going to go watch a man get killed.
How'd you spend Saturday night? Well, we went down to the junkyard.
And let me tell you, they were, you know that killer Michael Myers? Well, I'll be damned, they were putting him in a car crusher.
They used to watch people be hanged all the time, so
yeah,
it's not that much of a stretch.
And we just celebrated Easter, and that was like a public event.
Yeah. What a bad Friday.
Seems like not a very good Friday for anybody, I guess.
Ah, folks, come on. So he's dead. And, of course, they dump his body in the water, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens.
You got to keep stabbing.
I would have left that dude, and I'm getting out of there. But, again, we watch horror movies every week, so
yeah.
The first sign of trouble, I'm in the car already, and producer wife is like, where did you go?
You got to put his head all the way in the wood chipper. You can't just, like, why are you putting him in the wall? You got to weight him down. But then you have the classic Friday the 13th jump scare where he jumps back out the water and grabs them, and then we cut to blend, then we cut to the end.
Wah! That last part where he jumps out of the water, did that happen or was that a dream?
I think it happened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because then we're led to believe that nobody survived besides Jason, of course.
Mm-hmm. So I do have some fun facts here.
So
according to the producers, test audiences felt there was too much sex and nudity, so the filmmakers decided to cut back for the theatrical version.
I should have watched the DVD version to see the extras.
Did you watch the Max? Did you watch the version on Max?
Of course, because why would I want to get up and walk 3 feet?
I have two versions of I have two copies of this on Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
I bought it when it came out in the individualies, and then I bought the Scream Factory big box set.
Yeah,
Blu-ray.
That's the one I have too.
That is just in the TV cabinet. It is already downstairs, but I was too lazy. I was like, well, if I get this, I have to take the disc out of my PlayStation. And then that's a whole thing.
Yeah. And you got to have two remotes.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But you know what? Max has it. I'll just watch that. But yeah, we probably should have watched the unrated version just for fun. But I feel like most people on this podcast who are listening probably also watched it on Max. So it's the version they know.
I'm wondering if they included those sex scenes in the DVD.
Probably. I'm sure they did. I've watched that version before, but it's just been a minute.
And this already, we thought, had a lot of sex in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like, this was the cutback version? Whoa.
Yeah.
Then we also have, like we said, a sequel was a. This movie made a bunch of money at the box office. People, it was liked by fans. Critics don't care, really, but fans loved it. A sequel was announced by Platinum Dunes after the theatrical release of the movie, but after a year of no news where production stood on a sequel, producer Brad Fuller confirmed via his Twitter that the sequel had gone out of production. And that's kind of where we're at. This is very similar to what happened with Freddy vs. Jason. Mm-hmm. Where that movie made so much money, everybody's like, well, we got to make another one. We got to either make Ash come in and fight Freddy and Jason, or maybe Pinhead. And then you just kept waiting and waiting and waiting, and now it's been like 21 years.
It's just, I know the base level, these movie executives love to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And we're essentially the Fry from Futurama meme of, shut up and take my money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, go see it. Just make it.
Yeah. We just want these movies to come out. And Friday the 13th has always been, because it has had so many bad entries, it's kind of like the redheaded stepchild of the slasher genre.
Oh, hold on.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Neither one of my parents remarried, so it's fine.
Sorry, I meant the redheaded bitch.
Okay, that's better.
Yeah, that of the franchise. Work. Where Halloween feels like much more prestigious. For some reason, people seem to cling to Michael Myers. And we probably talked about this on all of our Halloween episodes that we've done. But people seem to have, like, Michael Myers in high esteem as, like, the OG. Jason's kind of like that dipshit with the hockey mask who sometimes does cool kills.
Well, I think, though, if you're talking horror, most people know the hockey mask before they know Michael Myers, I think.
I think it used to be that way, but I think Michael Myers now is more well-known than Jason.
Goddamn Michael Myers.
That goddamn Michael Myers. But honestly, I think, and I stand by this, I still think the most recognizable slasher is Chucky. I think Chucky is still the most recognizable slasher.
I don't, but people still love Freddy so much. It's probably who you are and what you grew up with. But.
Yeah. But I would love another movie like this. I would just love another Friday the 13th movie. Let me see it. Let me check here on IMDb.
Crystal. We probably could have done better homework because I would have been interested to see what the story would have been. Like there's a book called Taking Shape about the Halloween franchise. And then I bought it and I haven't read it yet, but it's called Taking Shape 2. And it's pretty much all the ideas that they had for future films. And some of those were kind of previewed in the first Taking Shape, but it would have been but interesting to see what ideas have been pitched and where do you take it? Because I don't know, what have you done, 12 of these movies? I don't know what number this one is, but
this is 12 if you count Freddy versus Jason.
Okay, so it's like I'll go see another Murder at the Camp movie, but it would have been fun to see where they wanted to take it and how they wanted to do it, and not, you know, not take him to Manhattan. So
yeah, it looks like Crystal Lake is still just in production as a thing that people want. But I guarantee you, whatever A24 is doing with, like, or whatever Miramax is doing with this new Halloween thing, a new Halloween thing will be out before Crystal Lake, probably.
Yeah. You guys can find an agreement where you can both make a bunch of money.
Yes, absolutely. All right. So let's kind of land this plane here a little bit. What was your favorite kill of this movie?
Oh, I wrote it down and I can't. What was yours?
I really liked the probably the arrow kill because it's such a good shot and it is a nice callback and just, hey man, nice shot.
Mine is the without a doubt the sleeping bag over the fire.
Nice,
because it's almost I was gonna say a Rube Goldberg thing, but that's not that at all. It's just kind of a weird. He's incorporating more than one thing. So you got the fire with the rope and the knot, and then, yeah, I just really like that. It makes for a great visual.
And you're an Eagle Scout, so you're like, that's good knot work.
Hey, man, this guy can tie a square knot with the best of them.
What's your oh shit moment?
I think probably when you see him the first time when he's running. It all comes from that very first part when you're like, oh, we're not messing around.
Yeah.
Like, this dude's a hunter.
My oh shit moment is that too, where he's like, where he runs at the girl and then it cuts to the cold open or the title card. That is my favorite part as well.
And also the stupendous tits.
Oh, good guy. Them stupendous titties. if you like this movie, what would you recommend?
Never Hike Alone. I already mentioned it, to be honest, I haven't seen the second one yet. I had a lot of stuff going on here recently, Gavin. But that's also free on YouTube, I believe. But I can't speak. I just over my shoulder, you can see it on the video right here. I have a Never Hike Alone poster.
Nice.
I can't vouch for it more than that. You know, pretty much any of the Friday franchise. Pretty much those.
Yeah.
What would you say?
Hatchet. Watch Hatchet.
Oh, yeah.
Hatchet's good. And then little bit, not a horror movie, but definitely watch and I should have mentioned this when we did Nightmare on Elm Street. Crystal Lake Memories.
Oh, yeah.
Is a great. Have you watched Crystal Lake Memories?
8 hours.
It is. Yeah, it flies by, let me tell you. It is a documentary that covers all of the Friday the 13th movies. It is in-depth. It is incredible. And if you like Nightmare on Elm Street, they did one for that as well called Never Sleep Again. Great documentaries that tell you anything you could want to know about these films.
great. Yeah, that documentary is great supplemental material, and I don't know if it's on Shudder or one of those. And I did. It is literally 8 or 9 hours, and it's not cut into episodes. It's just I'll just pause it here.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's narrated by, what, Corey Feldman?
Yes, it is.
Just fun story. So it's like, if you want more Friday and you've watched the movies a bunch, that is a great documentary that I'd say check out.
Absolutely.
Is All this right. movie scary?
It has scary parts in it.
Yeah. I don't know that it's like scary 100% of the time, which also I think, then lends itself to being a party movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you could definitely put it on at a party and people could enjoy it.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, yeah. That's it. We covered all the stuff, right?
Yeah. Patreon.com/ They're coming to get you if you want to become a Patreon subscriber. We got all kinds of tiers and fun stuff for you. So come join us over there. Patreon.com/ They're coming to get you. We appreciate any subscribers. We also appreciate any reviews that you leave us on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts. And next week, what are we watching?
Well, I'll take your job. We're watching Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2003, directed by, as we said, the guy from this one.
So. Yeah. Arguably, maybe, one of the best remakes ever made.
Oh, we'll talk about it, because I have thoughts. And maybe we'll break it down in our, I don't know if we're going to do a wrap-up episodes of the season, but...
maybe.
In general. So, next week is Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2003. Gavin, they're coming to get you.
Barbara, chee, chee, chee.
They're coming to get you. They're coming for you, Barbara.
They're coming to get you.